Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rav Ram Goldhar and Tiddur Maseches Gittin Daf Yud Gimel. The first parak maybe get. The Zichud Maseches Gittin program has been generously sponsored by Zichud Nishmas Chaya Hadas Basender. So the three topics we're going to focus on number one. The next Mishnah teaches that one who instructs a get to be given to his wife or an eved and dies, it cannot be given after his death. However, if he said Tnu Mana Ishponi Umeis, give a mana, meaning money equal to 100 dinarim, to Poni and he died, Yidnu L'Acher Misa, they should give it after his death. Rav said, this ruling is only if the coins are piled and resting in a corner, and the benefactor said to give these coins. Two interpretations are given. Rav Zvid said the Mishnah discusses a healthy person. Although a kinyan is required, it was performed here with Mamet Shloshtan, in the presence of all three parties, himself, the intermediary, and the third party. As Rav said, manali biyadcha tenehu lo leponi. If one says, you have a mana of mine, give it to Ploni, but Mama Choshan Kana. If this was said in the presence of all three parties, the recipient automatically acquires the mana. This applies only to specified deposited money, according to Rav Zvid. Rav Papa said the Mishnah discusses a Shchimira, a mortally ill person who does not require a kinyan. Still, Rav holds that if the gift is not identified, it cannot be given because he may have intended to give a buried mana. According to Halakha, this is not a concern. Point number two, the Gemara explains the Machlokas. Rav Papa did not explain our mission with Mamet Shloshtan of a healthy person because, in his opinion, this is effective not only with a deposited mana, but even with a loan and would not require being piled and resting in a corner. Rav Zvi did not explain the Mishnah to refer to a Shchimira because the Mishnah implies that if he were alive, the get would only be given if he said Tnu, but not if he merely said Kisvu, write it. This is contradicted by a Mishnah which states, "Berishona hayu omrim." Originally, they would say, "Hayotzi bekolor va'amar kisu get liishti." One who goes out in an iron collar to be executed and said, "Write a get for my wife," although he did not say to give it, "Hari el yichtavu yitnu." They write it and give it because he lacked the presence of mind to speak clearly. Later, other circumstances were added. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri said, "Afamasukan." Even a dangerously ill person who says kisvu, a get is written and given. Rav Ashi rejected this point, saying that we need not assume that our Mishnah follows Rabbi Shimon Shazuri's opinion. And pointing with who Rav said, Mistavra milsid the Rav pikadon. Rav's ruling of a mamad shloshtan transfer is logical regarding a deposited item, which is under the owner's domain and legal control, of a bimilva lo, but not for a loan. Nonetheless, Rav swore that Rav holds it is effective even for a loan. A Maimar initially explained, Nasika omro b'shas matan malos. It's as if the borrower said to the lender, at the time the money was originally given, I'm obligated to you and to whoever comes in your place, which the lender can designate later through Mamet Shloshtan. Thus, the transfer is enabled through the original loan terms. Rav Ashi objected that if so, one cannot use Mamet Shloshtan to give funds to someone who was not born at the time of the loan, since everyone agrees that ownership cannot be transferred to someone who is not yet born. Ultimately, the Gemara will explain that Mamet Shloshtan was enacted kehilchos abalotaima, like laws taught to Moshe for which no rationale is given. The rabbis decreed it effective even without a mechanism. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah teaches that one who instructs a get to be given to his wife or eved and dies, it cannot be given after his death. However, if he said Tnu mana ishponi umeis, give a mana, meaning money equal to 100 dinarim, to Poni and he died, yidnu l'acher misa, they should give it after his death. Rav said, this ruling is only if the coins are piled and resting in a corner, and the benefactor said to give these coins. Two interpretations are given. Rav Zvid said the Mishnah discusses a healthy person. Although a kinyan is required, it was performed here with Mamet Shloshtan, in the presence of all three parties, himself, the intermediary, and the third party. As Rav said, manali biyadcha tenehu lo leponi. If one says, you have a mana of mine, give it to Ploni, but Mamet Shloshtan Kana. If this was said in the presence of all three parties, the recipient automatically acquires the mana. This applies only to specified deposited money, according to Rav Zvid. Rav Papa said the Mishnah discusses a Shchimira, a mortally ill person who does not require a kinyan. Still, Rav holds that if the gift is not identified, it cannot be given because he may have intended to give a buried mana. According to Halakha, this is not a concern. Point number two, the Gemara explains the Machlokas. Rav Papa did not explain our mission with Mamet Shloshtan of a healthy person because, in his opinion, this is effective not only with a deposited mana, but even with a loan and would not require being piled and resting in a corner. Rav Zvi did not explain the Mishnah to refer to a Shchimira because the Mishnah implies that if he were alive, the get would only be given if he said Tnu, but not if he merely said Kisvu, write it. This is contradicted by a Mishnah which states, "Barishona hayu omrim." Originally, they would say, "Hayotzi bekolor va'amar kisu get liishti." One who goes out in an iron collar to be executed and said, "Write a get for my wife," although he did not say to give it. Hari el yichtavu v'yitnu. They write it and give it because he lacked the presence of mind to speak clearly. Later, other circumstances were added. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri said, "Afa masukan." Even a dangerously ill person who says kisu, a get is written and given. Rav Ashi rejected this point, saying that we need not assume that our Mishnah follows Rabbi Shimon Shazuri's opinion. And pointing with who Rav said, Mistavra milsid the Rav pikadon. Rav's ruling of a mamad shloshan transfer is logical regarding a deposited item, which is under the owner's domain and legal control, of al bimilva lo, but not for a loan. Nonetheless, Rav swore that Rav holds it is effective even for a loan. A Maimar initially explained, Nasika omro b'shas matan malos. It's as if the borrower said to the lender, at the time the money was originally given, I'm obligated to you and to whoever comes in your place, which the lender can designate later through mamad shloshtan. Thus, the transfer is enabled through the original loan terms. Rav Ashi objected that if so, one cannot use mamad shloshtan to give funds to someone who was not born at the time of the loan, since everyone agrees that ownership cannot be transferred to someone who is not yet born. Ultimately, the Gemara will explain that mamad shloshtan was enacted kehilchos ha'bilotaima, like laws taught to Moshe for which no rationale is given. The rabbis decreed it effective even without a mechanism. All right, so now we get our siman daf yud gimel, and our standard siman is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. The bar mitzvah boy in the green suit who was delighted when a healthy guest told another guest, you have a mana of mine, give it to the bar mitzvah boy, which meant he automatically acquired it, and then became sad when he overheard a man on his way to be executed say, write a get for my wife, became happy again when another guest said, a mamad shloshtan works, even with a loan. So once again, it's a motion. The bar mitzvah boy, that must mean we're daf yud gimel. The bar mitzvah boy in the green suit who was delighted when a healthy guest told another guest, you have a mana of mine, give it to the bar mitzvah boy, which meant he automatically acquired it, which reminds us, the next mission teaches that one who instructs a get to be given to his wife or evident dies, it cannot be given after his death. However, if he said, tnu mana ish poni umeis, give a mana to poni and he died, yidu l'achemisi, they should give it after his death. Rav said the ruling is only if the coins are piled and resting in a corner, and the benefactor said to give these coins. Two interpretations are given. Rav Zvid said the Mishnah discusses a healthy person. Although a kenyan is required, it was performed to with a mamad shloshtan in the presence of all three parties, himself, the intermediary, and the third party, and with a mamad shloshtan, the recipient automatically acquires it. Rav Papa said the Mishnah discusses a shchimera, a mortally ill person, who does not require a kenyan. So the bar mitzvah boy in the green suit who was delighted when a healthy guest told another guest, you have a mana of mine, give it to the bar mitzvah boy, which meant he automatically acquired it, and then became sad when he overheard a man on his way to be executed say, write a get for my wife, which reminds the Gemara brings a mission with states, originally they would say, Hayotzi bekolor ba'amar kisu get liishti, one who goes out in an iron collar to be executed and said, write a get for my wife, although he did not say, give it, hayol yichtav v'yitnu, they write and give it because he lacked the presence of mind to speak clearly. So the bar mitzvah boy in the green suit who was delighted when a healthy guest told another guest, you have a mana of mine, give it to the bar mitzvah boy, which meant he automatically acquired it, and then became sad when he overheard a man on his way to be executed say, write a get for my wife, became happy again when another guest said, a mamad shloshtan works even with a loan. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses whether mamad shloshtan is not only effective for a deposit, but it's also effective for a loan, and if so, how? So once again, the bar mitzvah boy in the green suit who was delighted when a healthy guest told another guest, you have a mana of mine, give it to the bar mitzvah boy, which meant he automatically acquired it, and then became sad when he overheard a man on his way to be executed say, write a get for my wife, became happy again when another guest said, a mamad shloshtan works, even with a loan. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazar. Daf tes, so the simmer daf tes is a teapot. So here goes. When the Eved dropped the green teapot, that must mean we're on daf tes, teapot. When the Eved dropped the green teapot when he discovered he wasn't freed since Lav Kruz Gitahu, the separation between the slave and master, wasn't clear in the document, which reminds us, Reb Meir says, a kosev kol nechasav l'avdo yatzah ben chorin. One writes over all his possessions to his Eved, he goes free because he's included in the master's possession. Shi'er karka kol shehu yatzah ben chorin. If the master retained land of any size for himself, he doesn't go free. Rav Ashi explains Reb Meir to say, Mishum de Lav Kruz Gitahu, because the separation between the slave and master is not clear in the document. Ramirez holds that even if the master did identify the retained property, the slave doesn't go free because this retention suggests the possibility that he means to retain the slave as well. This remote possibility disqualifies the get as lacking its requisite clarity. So when the Eva dropped the green teapot when he discovered he wasn't freed since Love Cruz Getahu, the separation between the slave and master wasn't clear in the document. Green tea splashed all over blank paper etched for Adim, who didn't know how to sign a woman's get, which reminds us it was taught to Bryce that Adim who do not know how to sign, we etch a blank paper for them with their names, and the Adim fill the etches with ink. Rav Shimon Gamliel says this is only valid for getting of women, but not for any other documents, including a get shichur. A special leniency was granted to protect women from becoming agunos if they're pressed for time and cannot obtain better witnesses. So when the Eved dropped the green teapot when he discovered he wasn't freed since Lav Cruz Gitohu, the separation between the slave and master wasn't clear in the document. Green tea splashed all over blank paper edged for Adim, who didn't know how to sign a woman's get. Just as someone rushed into the room to sadly inform the woman their husband died and that her get would be no good, nor would other documents. Which reminds us, the Braisa does not include as one of the similarities between a get Isha and get Shichur that they cannot be given after Misa, after death, because this rule applies to other documents and is not exclusive to them. Daf Yud. So the Siman Daf Yud is a minion of Yidden. So here goes. The minion of Kusim, minion of Kusim, that must be on Daf Yud, minion of Yidden. The minion of Kusim and their green talasim, selling their carefully baked matzos for their shul building campaign. Which reminds us, the next mission teaches the second similarity between a get Isha and a get Shichur. Any get which has a Kusi sign onto it is invalid because their testimony is unreliable, chutz migitei nashim shichuri avadim, except for women's gittin and gittin shichur. The more questions the mission's ruling based on machlokes about Kusim's reliability for mitzvahs. Matzah prepared by a Kusi is permitted to eat on Pesach, and there's no chametz concern, and one is yotzi, his obligation to eat matzah with it, and we can even assume he prepared it with the required mitzvah intent. Rabbi Elazar prohibits his consumption with Yishem Bikin b'dikduke mitzvahs because they're not experts in the details of mitzvahs and it may be chametz. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says kol mitzvah sheichiziku b'kusim. Any mitzvah that Kusim adopted, even though it's not written explicitly in the Torah, they're much more careful about it than ordinary Jews are. So the minion of Kusim and their green talasim selling their carefully baked matzos for their shul building campaign watched in pride as one of their Kusim members signed a get, which Yisrael signed afterwards, which reminds us. The Gemara explains that the ton of our Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar, who does not consider Kusim reliable. Ukagon dechasim Yisrael abasov, and it's a case where the Yisrael signed at the end after the Kusi. Because if the Kusi were not a chaver, meaning reliable regarding mitzvahs, the Yisrael would not have let him sign before him. Therefore, a single Kusi's signature can be validated. So the minion of Kusim in their green talasim selling their carefully baked matzos for their shul building campaign watched in pride as one of their Kusi members signed a get, which a Yisrael signed afterwards, since it wasn't permitted to be processed in the Goyisha court next door, where other shtaros were allowed to be done. Which reminds us, the next mission teaches the third similarity between Gittin and Gittin Shichur. Kol shtaros ha'oin ba'arka osha of the kochavim, all documents processed in courts of idolaters, even though the signers are idolaters, are still valid, except for a woman's Gittin and Gittin Shichur. Rabbi Shimon says that even Gittin and Gittin Shichur are valid, as the Gemara will explain. Daf Yudov, so the Siman Daf Yudov is stars based on the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. The stargazer Kyle McDonald III, who liked to sign his distinct Goyish name on Staros, surrounded by 11 green stars. 11 stars? That must be on Daf Yudov, stars. The stargazer Kyle McDonald III, who liked to sign his distinct Goyish name on Staros, surrounded by 11 green stars, which reminds us. The Gemara in the previous daf explained that Rabbi Shimon considers a get signed by idolaters valid, because he was like Rabbi Elazar that Edi Masira Karti. The witnesses to delivery enabled the get to sever the marital bond even without signatures. The Gemara said a document which is Mezuyah Matocho, internally faulty, is invalid, even though no signatures were necessary. This is because of a concern that people may come to use the signed witnesses for the delivery as well, for which they are not qualified. The Gemara answers b'shemus muvhakin. The Mishnah refers to signatures of distinct names, meaning obviously Gentile names. People know they're not valid witnesses and will not rely on them. So the stargazer Kyle McDonald III, who liked to sign his distinct Goyish name on Staros, surrounded by 11 green stars, looked through his telescope and saw a master unsuccessfully attempt to retract the get Shichur after giving it to his shaliach, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Ha'omer ten get zeh li'ishti, ushtar shichur zeh la'avdi. One who says to his shaliach, give this get to my wife or give this get Shichur to my slave, Ramer holds imratzo lachso b'shneim yachso. If he wants to retract from either of them, he may retract because neither get takes effect until it reaches his recipient. recipient. The Chachamim partially disagree. B'gitei nashim avolo b'shichrui avadim. This is true regarding women's gittin, but not regarding gittei shichrui. They explain the distinction of fisha zakna adam shelo b'fanav vein chavin lo el b'fanav, because one may benefit another person even in his absence, meaning without his authorization, but one cannot disadvantage another person except in his presence, meaning with authorization. So the stargazer Kyle MacDonald III, who liked to sign his distinct Goyish name on staros, surrounded by 11 green stars, looked through his telescope and saw a master unsuccessfully attempt to attract a get shichur after giving it to his shaliach. Next is someone who sees property for a baal chov being told to give it back because it's a disadvantage to other baal chov, which reminds us, Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef once were sitting before Rav Yirmi, who was dozing. Rav Huna sought to deduce from the Chachamim's opinion, Hatofes lebaal chov kana, one who seizes property for a creditor. The creditor acquires it. When Rav Yirmi awoke, he chided them that Rav Yochanan says, a creditor does not acquire property seized on his behalf when it disadvantages others, and explained the Mishnah's reason, Kolmer tenu, kolmer zachu dami. Anyone who says give is as if he says acquire it for the recipient. Thus, the shliach was instructed by the master to acquire the get for the slave. Daf Yud Beis. So the Siman Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. The 12 slave brothers, 12 brothers, that must be more on Daf Yud Beis. The 12 slave brothers wearing green work clothes, who were offended when their master told them to let their earnings be their food, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses whether one can force a slave to work without feeding him and say, let your earnings be your food. So the 12 slave brothers wearing green work clothes were offended when their master told them to let their earnings be their food, and then were outraged when he said he was keeping the medical expenses that someone paid for cutting off one of the brothers' hands, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, Akotei yad avdo shel chavera, one who cuts off the hand of his friend's slaves, noisen shifto rufua solo rabo, gives compensation for his lost work during his recovery and healing expenses to the master, but also evid nizom min tzedaka, and that slave is fed from charity. Even though the master is being compensated for the slave's lost work, he's not required to feed him. This proves that Rabbi Yochanan holds one can require a slave to work without feeding him. The case was where the slave was estimated to require 5 days of treatment and was given powerful medication that healed him in 3 days at a lower cost, but with greater suffering. Rabbi Yochanan taught that even compensation for such suffering is award to the master, not the slave. So the 12 slave brothers wearing green work clothes who were offended when their master told them to let their earnings be their food, and then were outraged when he said he was keeping the medical expenses that someone paid for cutting off one of the brothers' hands, decided to run away before their Kohen master freed them and caused them a loss of Truma. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings Reb Meir's argument that freeing a slave causes him a loss of Truma. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which of the Gonakusi's signature on a get is considered reliable? One in Yisrael signed under it. That's on Duff. Yud. Good. Number 2. Which duff do we have a machlokes about renting a get in a boat in the Mediterranean Sea? That's on duff. Ches. Good. Number 3. Which duff do we have a question whether one can force a slave to work without feeding him? That's on duff. Yud Beis. Good. Number 4. Which duff do we learn a mamad shloshan acquires with a deposit? That's on duff. Yud Gimel. Good. Number 5. Which of them Rabbi Shimon holds that a get signed by idolaters is valid because they are using Shemos Muhakim, distinct Goyish names? That's on Dav. Yud Olav. Good. Number 6. Which of them when the one who cuts off his friend's slave's hand pays compensation and medical expenses to the master, and the slave is fed from tzedakah? That's on Dav. Yud Beis. Good. Number 7. Which duff do you want to get lacha misa is not effective, nor is any document effective given after misa? That's on duff. Test. Good. Number 8. Which duff do you want, if someone is being taken out to be executed, it says, kisu get li ishti, write a get for my wife, without saying give it to her, we still give it to her. That's on duff. Yud Gimel. Good. Number 9. Which duff do you want to better get shichur, where the master retains property and it's not a cruz gitta? That's on duff. Test. Good. And number 10. Which stuff have a question if a mamad shloshan works even with a loan? That's on Daf. Yud Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldham Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.